Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you guys for joining us here at Harvest Lulite Church and Harvest Lulite Studios here in the city of Dallas. We're about to get ready here in just a moment. Kind of pushing the time limit here a little bit. Kind of just relaxing with the stay with the access system a little, you know, just kind of going back and forth with the system a little bit. But, you know, on this particular station and on this particular network, you're going to have some of the fundamentals with this particular area of this particular network. It's, I'm going to say it's worse, it's bad, it's good, but it's one of the networks that gives us a little difficult. You know, it's not as great as I think it should be, but other than that, you know, we still let it work and we still do what we have to do to move forward. But, you know, our main show runs off a Spreaker, runs off a different type of grid, and for some reason we just kind of get a little problem with this Windstream, this particular system running off of. But it's a blessing for you guys to be with us here at Harvest and Light Church and Harvest and Light Studios here in the city of Dallas. Want to bring some few announcements to you as we get started on today. Of course, I'm always telling you guys about my good friend, Dr. J.C. Matthews at Reigning International Ministries out there in the city of Irving, Texas. And that's going to be 3001 Irving Boulevard out there in the city of Irving, Texas, the contact number. If he's in any of this information that I'm giving to you guys, if you lose it or you don't think, you know, you didn't catch it properly, you know, we're going to bring it back to you again. And if you didn't catch it then, if you don't catch it then, you go back to the actual pre-recorded stations and you can hear what we have, or you can give me a contact call here at the Harvest New Life Studios at 214-870-2146. But Reigning International Ministries out there in the city of Irving, Texas, Dr. J.C. Matthews and his beautiful wife, Gina Matthews, actually runs that facility out there. And that's going to be at 3001 Irving Boulevard in the city of Irving, Texas. And that's going to be a number you can contact them with at 877-377. It's going to be 3446. Of course, this coming Wednesday night. Most of you are part of my social network station. You can actually go to Living Faith Christian Center. It's a live stream service that you can pick up pretty much anywhere in the U.S. All you got to do is got to go to Living Faith Christian Center, Living Faith Christian Center. cc.org, and that's going to be Bishop Raymond Johnson down in the city of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Also, we're anticipating the man of God, Oscar Walker, out of Houston, Texas, to be with us here soon. We, of course, you know, we had him, he's taking care of some things with his mom, and his mom has just recently passed here, and he's got a lot of problems. He's got a, not problems, but situations, you know, when you deal with these things, you got to take care of those things. But in the studio tonight, we're going to welcome the good man of God out of Saginaw, Michigan, Elder Kerry Williams, as always. And he's in the studio with us. You're going to hear from him soon. And also, we want to say hello to our new entry into the ministry, or our new actually add-on to the ministry, is actually Pastor Ricky Cook out of out of Houston, Texas. I want to get my schedule here right. Got my papers in front of me. I got to read off these ledgers. And I want to get that right. Pastor Ricky Cook, out there in the city of Houston, Texas, at Greater Love Ministries. We want to keep his family in prayer also. We heard that his brother's going through a little illness as of right now. We want to keep him lifted up in the name of Jesus, declare the word over their life as they continue to move forth and do what God, all he has in store for them, and bringing him back. Also, we talked to a good man of God today, Mr. J.R. Perez, one of my good friends, hadn't talked to him in a while. We want to keep his wife lifted up, Sister Perez. She goes through some of the treatments that she has to do. Then maybe have her body come back in the condition where God has aligned it to be. And also to my beautiful wife, Pastor Patty Ellis, who's always there in the ministry helping us to move forward, to all my children, sisters, and brothers. And I think I'm not for sure, but I want to thank God for my nephew. I believe that baby's already came. I hadn't heard from him in a while, so I mean, he's probably at the hospital, either awaiting that new entry or it's already here. We're just going to believe, we're going to pray prayers over them, that as the baby come forth, everything will be just right on time. 10 everything, 10 fingers, 10 toes, everything in the right mind, the 2 eyes, everything, 2 ears, everything that the baby needs, that he live a successful, full life according to the kingdom of God. As we move forward, we want to thank God for our evangelist team going over and being with Pastor Edward Pearson out there in Terrell, Texas. That's going to be out there in the city of Terrell, Texas. Edward G. Pearson, he's one of our good friends out of Saginaw High School. He's running a great ministry down here in the city of Terrell, Texas, done a great work. Powerful speaker, prolific speaker, and singer, and I tell you, and teacher. He's a great man of God, and we actually joining in with him. Our evangelism team is going out, actually doing some work in his ministry to help produce the work out there. It's just so much God is doing here at Harvest New Life Church and Harvest New Life Studios. We just thank him for all the work he's doing and all the other ministries that's been adding on, little tidbits here, tidbits there, to maybe use some of the services we have to help us to move forward. Also, I want to say one more thing before we get started. This coming April, I want you guys to be in full support of Pastor Edward Pearson. He's got a new show called The One Hour with Pastor Pearson. It's going to be airing on Friday night, starting at 7 o'clock, and we're going to actually get him set up and get him going, and he's ready to roll. But I just want to say hello to my good friend. He's online. We're going to get ready to introduce him in here, and we're going to get ready to go lead off in prayer, and we're going to start it up with what the Word of God has to say, and that's no other than Elder Kerry Williams in the studio with us. Elder?
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your presence in this meeting tonight, God. We thank you for these hearts and these minds that are here, God. We would tonight, God, that you would go before us, around us, and behind us, Lord, and continue to operate within us, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Thank God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you.
As we get started on tonight, our Tuesday testimony is always a testimony about what the power of God is doing in our lives. And, you know, and you, not, no test, no, actually, testimony service is not, you know, good with a testimony, with a testimony. And I think about the testimonies about some of the things that has just happened in our life. As I look back, I think about all the things that God has done for us, and things that seem to be impossible, that, you know, people said it couldn't happen, and they said it couldn't take place, but God tells us, he continued to tell us, you know, all the time, look, stay in your lane. I know the thoughts and the plans I got for you, they're good, they're evil. But he shows himself favorably in our lives as we continue to move forth. And I just think about a condition that we was looking at, and we were talking about an area of town. And sometimes you don't know why God moves you around and what he does for you, but he's always bringing you near something to open something up for you. So I began to talk to the man at R.J. Perez. It was a center that they was building, a huge hope center. It's like an outreach to the nation. We didn't know what it was at the time. But I remember early in my ministry, I was driving one of the church vans, and it broke down. The church van broke down. I pulled over into this particular parking lot where it's on a brand new construction. I thought for sure, man, we stuck here. We got to hurry and get a record truck to tow this thing because this is a new building. You know, they don't probably mess around out here on this side of town. And they're going to probably come out here and tell us we got to get that thing out here and just haul it to wherever they're going to haul it to just to get it off of their property. But I come to find out these many years later, I talked to the good friend, R.J. Perez, and he was telling me, you know, it was a building that they have here in town. And they said it's a new building, and it's an outreach to the world. It's got over 150 offices in there. That's all dedicated studios, research centers, all these things. And they're actually doing a great work of sending out work to Egypt, to areas of Samaria. I mean, these are actually real towns, Samaria over in Jerusalem, over here in the area of Philippi. And they're hitting those regions just as Christ did back in the days, but they're doing it for right here in the U.S., right here in Dallas. And I can remember coming to that place, and I remember stopping at that place even before it was in construction. It was just really, they were just really getting it built up. And I never knew that that's what that place was. I thought it was some kind of government facility that they was building. They wanted us to probably get off the property because, of course, the church van that broke down got all the signs on the side, Harvest, New Light Church. What doing that church van? Get that thing out of here. But we're going to find out these many years later, talk with this man of God. He knows how to do things, and you don't understand what he's doing. And we're trying to find a bigger studio. Because we invite people to come in and talk in our shows. And he happened to tell me about this place. And it brought back to my remembering. I said, remember before the place was even under construction, I showed you the place, even before it was even mentioned to what it was going to be. And but behind the scene, only they knew. But they had never knew it was going to turn out to be such a great builder for the kingdom of God to bring forth. It's like a giant, huge, multi-surface, multi-office TVN center that reach out to all over the world, multiple people doing multiple broadcasts, multiple things for the kids. It's just a powerful place that does a powerful work. And I'm telling you, that's just my testimony tonight. And for those who are calling in tonight, if you got a testimony tonight, you want to give us a testimony about some of the things that God is doing in your life and some things he has just helped you through. I mean, this is the place, this is the time you really want to do it, is right now. And the call-in number is actually area code 516-387-1220. I'm telling you, your testimony service is really designed to help people in the conditions that they're in. I mean, in fact, when I saw somebody testify, when my mother was young, and we were all young, we would see the mothers in the church testify about the goodness of God, how he brought them through, how he just carried them, you know, in circumstances, situations. I can remember when they even prayed about their wash machines broke down. I mean, this is true. I hear a lot of people say it was kind of ludicrous and kind of crazy back in the days, but these women of God had faith. These men of God had faith on their jobs and things that happened to them. A lot of work with these GM plants. There was a lot of injuries going on, and how God did supernatural things in their life. We would sit there and listen. And after working hard in those plants, those men would come home and they would still get up and they'd praise God on Sunday morning with the guitars, the strum instruments. And so this is why I'm talking about testimony service. Since they took it out of the church and they came to more to try to develop more of a, what we call the oratorical, and we replaced it with all the lights and flashes and glamour, why don't we just, on this Tuesday night, why don't we just, you know, we're going to talk about the word. Why don't somebody give a testimony? Call in and give a testimony about some things that's going on in your life. I know that I have the woman of God online, co-pastor Patty. I keep saying co-pastor, but she's a leader, and she may be there. And I think, I don't know if her hand is up, but I got her in the studio, and she has testimonies all the time about things, the visions and dreams that God give her, and how he just continued to bring us through stuff. I don't know if she, I'm going to knock on her door here. Co-pastor Patty Ellis, are you there? Are you in the studio anywhere? We call out to her. Maybe she's in there, maybe she's not. But, you know, we want to make sure we got her in here And she's on the line tonight at her actually 0222 number, so we're not going to call the whole prefix out. But as she gets prepared, for those who are calling, I said before, push the number one button on your keypad, and that'll bring you to the studio to show that you have a sign. So we're going to come back to Pastor Patty later, and we're going to hear from her because I know she's probably she's back in there, but sometimes she get confused on these buttons, and so many buttons we got to push and this and that. And so we're going to come back to her in just a minute. But I want to give a testimony out. I want to hear what Elder Carey has to say about his testimony. Give one of these the first two. I see a lot of you guys lighting up. We're going to give a few testimonies that we're going to get on. And we have the word of God say, Elder, give us a testimony about some things God has done. I know you got so many, but before we get started in this word, testimony about the power of God.
Amen, amen. I, God bless you, Pastor Ellis. I really do. I can assure you that God has blessed me in so many different ways, you know, and I look at it like this, you know, nothing's over until God said it's over, you know. Matter of fact, just a short testimony. I can remember several years back, one day I was going through the motions of preparing for a kidney transplant. And as part of the process, you have to go through several different, you know, appointments and do things like this. And I went one of the last steps, matter of fact, probably the last step. I was literally a couple of days away from getting this transplant, and I had to go see a urologist because my family has a history of cancer, real heavy on both sides.
Mm.
And that man looked me in the eye and told me that I had cancer.
Mm.
And when he said it, I guess kind of instinctively all I said was, thank you, Lord. And he looked at me like I was crazy. But when he said it, the Lord let me know then not to even worry about it, that he was going to heal me.
Amen.
And so I said, thank you, Lord. And he went to talking about all this stuff, what you can do with everything. And I told him, I said, doctor, I'm not even worried about it. I said, God's got this for me. I said, you set up whatever surgery you want to do and take care of it. And just to keep a long story short, I had surgery on New Year's Eve. I never forget, I had new surgery on New Year's Eve. And that evening I was cancer free, you know, and I've been cancer free since. And this was 5 years ago.
Hallelujah.
And I said it to say this because it was right around the anniversary of my 21st year in the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a similar situation when God called me into the gospel ministry. It was approximately a week before I was to preach my trial sermon. And I was working out of town at the time. I had a newborn daughter at home. And I got sick at work one day. I was working in Emily City. I got sick, and they took me to the hospital on a pier. Now, my daughter was 2 weeks old, and this was literally a week before I was scheduled to preach my first sermon, and what happened was the enemy came at me. I got sick, and I was in the hospital on the pier, and I was diagnosed with diabetes, pneumonia, and a sinus infection all at one time, and the doctor looked at me, and he said, man, you must have God on your side. He said, I don't even know why you're not in a coma. I had sugars of over 900. And he said, I don't understand why you're not in a coma. And I told him, I said, well, no offense, doctor. I said, but I have a doctor that's supernatural. And anyway, he didn't want to let me out of the hospital. He made me promise him that if he let me out of that hospital, I would come straight to Saginaw and go straight to the hospital, which I did. And I remember being in the hospital. I'd been there maybe a day. And I got a phone call. My wife was in the hospital. She was in another hospital across town with pneumonia. Mm-hmm. And when that happened, I began to pray and intercede for God. And I made a covenant with God. I said, God, you let me out of this hospital. You heal my wife. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to go forward in your ministry, and I will never look back. And needless to say, it came down to the wire, but I got out of the hospital on New Year's Eve. Again, this was in 94. I got out of the hospital. I went straight out to church. I preached my first sermon. And I've been running for God ever since. And I said all that to say this. When trouble comes, if you can just look beyond yourself and trust God, he'll make a way for you no matter what.
Amen.
But all of this information, this word, everything's going forth, we've got to take it in and receive it and walk in it.
Amen.
But I'm a witness. God will heal your body because he not only needs, he wants you to be in position to bring him glory.
Amen.
And that's what it's about.
Amen. And I guess, you know, I ain't going to guess. You know, that's the reason we do testimonies.
Exactly.
An expectation to build up the confidence and the hope in somebody else's life who maybe looking at, well, you know, I'm hopeless. No, well, look at his situation. I mean, you heard the report. I mean, look at him now. You know, I can testify right along with him that I know sometimes he had told me there were some things that was going on with him. But, I mean, I prayed. I believed and trusted God that he was going to deliver him for whatever it was that made me be along with him. But I look at him right now and I say, man, you know, this brother testifies. This brother speaks, not blasphemy, this brother speaks the truth. He speaks to me.
Amen.
Because I'm a living witness to the truth. And when you're a living witness to the truth, you see things that happen in the lives of people miraculously. And I'm telling you, supernaturally, beyond your comprehension. That's the power of God. All these things we see, but not just in the Bible. There's a report of things all over the world. If we were to get testimonies about some of the things that God has done, man, I mean, I don't know what would you say carry forth. I mean, what? Your entire life.
Exactly.
In other words, the miracles of God, like he's saying, as we're gonna get into this word talking about the carnal mindset, the miracles of God supersede the physical aspects of what we see with our own natural eyes. I think
exactly
about that in the book of Hebrews. You know, evidence, faith, declaring, decreeing. For the things that are unseen. You know, Bob said, if I can just, but I think he told him in Mark 9:20, he said, if I can just believe, you know, he didn't say some things, all things. His word,
all things are possible. That's right. Mark 9:23.
The name of Jesus. His name, his word is like a rudiment. It's like a rotor, like he says. In Isaiah 55:11, that's a forwarding word. It root out, it grinds its way through the successful, you know, part of the what we established in to be true. That even though things, and now Elder, we're gonna get to talking, we're gonna get into this thing, but Romans is carnal minded. But on last week, this is what you call moving in the spirit.
Amen.
Guys who minister the word. But sometimes when you go to minister the word, God gives you something that somebody needs, and so somebody's listening in, like all these listeners on tonight. It's something that somebody gonna, if it's just one person, will get something out of this. That one
That's
person.
That's the way God works.
The Bible says we got to walk in the spirit. That
Amen.
Even as men, this man got prepared for to speak on something else, like God said, it's something else going on here. That somebody's listening in, and they hearing you, but then they hadn't came in and shouted out and said nothing. But when God began to move and he began to declare things, he said the word goes forth. It begins to hurl out. It begins to grind out. Whatever, despite the situations may be around you. I think one of the words we couldn't quite figure it out for whatever reason on last week, we were talking about not the prodigal son, but we were talking about what was that when we're talking about the we got off the line and we talked about him, and we it came to us when we got off the line. But see, that's how God lines things. We kept saying, man, what is that guy he put on the horse? I mean, it's right, we know the word. But God said it ain't for you to be able to speak or to say at the time. But at that particular time, we was dealing with the Good Samaritan. You know, how he went through that thing and how the people that was around him that was supposed to be godly and loving people, but they didn't, because he was a Samaritan. Well, he was actually Jewish. But his own
people, he was half Jewish. And yeah.
But the Samaritans,
the Jews,
yeah,
The Samaritans are directly related to the Jewish, but they've always treated them. They don't like them. They actually hate them.
Oh, yeah.
Because of their heritage, because of their lineage. It's just like the war between the brothers, you know, Esau and Isaac, you know.
Mm-hmm. And then that's like the war between us. I mean,
exactly.
You know, just same thing. I mean, when you just look at the overall picture of it, you know, black and white, we all one. We're supposed to be. I mean, that's what the word tells us.
At the end of the day, preacher, God is not a God of condemnation. Amen. He is. He always has been. He always will be a God of reconciliation.
That's right. This word, I mean, we just kind of heating up our boilers today. I'm going to leave his mic open. I mean, I'm going to leave Elder Carey's mic open because I know there's some things, and we look at just, I know we're talking about this word so powerful over in the book of Romans, but talk about we're going to stay really solidified on that particular area of scripture, dealing with that process of the carnal minded, how there's empathy against God. But when we think about the process, the reason we're looking at just the seventh verse, because when you look at the first part of Romans chapter 8, it gives, we're going to go through the abbreviation of scriptures and the verses here, but we're going to pick out the whole, as they taught us in college, to speak out in seminary. They told us to speak, just pull out the good stuff, you know, throw the meat, throw the bones away. You know, look over in the book of Romans chapter 8 in that first verse, the main word there is condemnation.
That's right.
You know, I mean, because everything else that supersedes behind that, it says if condemnation has a hindrance to Christ, but Christ ain't even in effect. Not only is he not in effect, you can't even walk after him.
Amen.
If you got condemnation, you might as well forget about really the rest of it. So, I mean, but there's no more condemnation, he said, for those who walk after who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. So if we have condemnation in our mind, then we are separated really out of the area of verse 1. But he goes to verse 2. He talks about another strong word in here, starting off, he talks about law. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But which laws, you know, then we confuse there. So he says, for the law of the spirit is life. If you got that mixed up, if you know that Christ gives us life through the laws and what he put, the commands, the things, the precepts that he put in place, and if we don't deal with that, then it's really at the end of it, sin and death. So those three things, law, sin, and death, really signifies that particular area in going into what we're about to talk about tonight. He goes on to talk about, for the law could not do in the flesh, which was weak. Now, Elder may see something different in here, but as my studies, and I'm not being outside of what he's saying, because I respect everything he's saying, being an elder of his house, because we like good arguments, but we want to be on point. Now, I believe that you can't do nothing if you're weak. That's me, you know. Weak.
You're right.
Just weak, you know, because if you're weak, then you become, like the word of God we're getting into, you become, you don't have the ability to fight, you know. The Bible says in the verse 3, For the law, what he could not do in the flesh, was weak. Now, we see that already through verse 1, the condemnation. We see the process of going through the area of walking with the area of the laws, being just kind of jumbled in the law and understanding what the word of God has us to do as being men of God. And then we see all these things come to being weak. I mean, you can't be weak when you're walking in the power of God. I think Galatians says about that. About, he really boosts you up and say, man, look, it's a spiritual walk. Walk in the spirit. Because you can't really walk in the spirit, then you become weak. You'll fulfill the lust and the desires of the flesh. That's what that means.
Amen.
Speaking of Galatians 5 and 16. But he goes on in the fourth verse, and he says that the righteousness of the law is to be filled in us who walk not after. Now, there's another word right there. I look at flesh. All this stuff and what we deal with the area of weakness, dealing with the area of death, dealing with the area of condemnation, All this falls under the fourth verse in the area of not being fulfilled, you know, of what God really called us to be. We might be filled, but we're not filled with the way we need to be filled. You know, we feel the things of the world, whether it's things of the spirit. Goes back to Galatians again, walking in the spirit. I think when you look at the book of Galatians, if I can share it, I'm gonna have an elder to go over the book of Galatians, and we're gonna look at Galatians with them. We're gonna look at Galatians 5 and 16. And I want to stay in the fourth verse of Romans 8. But we're gonna look at, and you're gonna see what the elder's about to say in this particular area of the book of Galatians. How it says when we look at Romans 8 and 4, he said that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Now look what he's saying.
That, amen. See,
if we go back to the verse 3, if you're weak, that's why he put the might in there, because some people get right. And they get weak when storms come at them, demarcations of the world. They get weak.
Amen.
Christ. So he said that it might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Now listen to what Elder said in Galatians 5 and 16. Now look how he says, look how he's dealing with this right here. Now this is powerful.
Amen. You're right on point, preacher, because it says in 5:16, mm-hmm. Paul says, I say then, mm-hmm. walk in the spirit.
Amen.
And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, that's powerful.
Yeah.
But he says it for a reason, because verse 17 says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit,
yeah.
and the spirit against the flesh.
Amen.
And these are contrary one
wow.
to another. In other words, that word contrary lets you know that they oppose one another.
Yeah.
This is the very reason why Paul goes on to say that the carnal mind or the fleshly mind, the earthly mind,
mm-hmm.
is enmity or the
mm-hmm.
enemy of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it
mm-hmm.
says here in verse 17, again, these are contrary one to another so that you do not do the things that you wish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we've got to understand that this is a constant battle. Make no mistake about it. We have war, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I heard somebody say a while back that the struggle is real.
Mm-hmm.
You better believe the struggle is real. There's an eternal struggle and warring over your very soul, your very spirit,
mm-hmm.
because God desires for us to live and to walk, not only in victory and the newness of life, but he desires
Amen.
For us to live and walk on this earth as conquerors,
mm-hmm.
as the kings that he
mm-hmm.
created us to be.
Amen. What is that? What is,
if you
what
know
that?
Anything about kings, an earthly king
mm-hmm.
is a military conqueror.
Mm-hmm.
He conquers for the sake and in the name of his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
But guess
Amen.
What? The Bible says that we're all kings and queens of
Amen.
A holy nation.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that's on
down
there.
That's why this is very paramount. Go ahead, Pastor.
No, when you were saying that, you know, I mean, on down in, as we go down further in there, we're going to see how all this collaborates and come together. But a little further, I want you to live further in the Galatians, and he really going to bring a lot of, he's going to chew off a lot of stuff that he's trying to get you to see that's going to come out of verse 4. It's so much in the wisdom of God.
Take
John the Baptist preached one sermon, I believe, man of God. Repent.
He did. Repent.
And there was so much out of that that brought so much conviction to people, you know, in terms of how they ought to conduct themselves for the one that's coming. Well, the Word of God tells us the same thing now that you read in the book of Galatians. Galatians just
Amen.
Told you, okay, if you're going to walk with Christ, if you're going to be the man of Christ Jesus, there are some things I need you to abstain from.
Right.
Those things, he talks about the abstaining things, if I ain't mistaken. I think it goes down to 19. He talks about the works, you know, all these different
talks
works.
About the works of the flesh, and in contrast, mm-hmm. the fruit of the spirit.
Amen. Amen. And
he goes on down
that.
Through that.
He gives you what you reap
as well as what you sow.
That's right. That's right. Now, he said the word, God heard him say contrast. But remember, first in the scripture, he talked about contrary, which is the, you know.
Exactly, contrary one to the other.
They diametrically opposing the law of the kingdom.
Right.
We're not supposed to be that if we understand that we might be full. That's why Christ says that I'm not saying that. I mean, we can, when we get into these studies, we talk about things that how the Spirit pulls the word. And elder know from the time we went back and deal with the book of Romans, and over there in that third chapter, in Romans told us the truth about ourselves in the third chapter. We have all come unprofitable. We are all counted with sin. And what I mean, that there's not
all
one
falling short of the glory of God.
You know what I mean? And this is what we're saying. As we talk to you about things, we don't get on here to shout you down, because what we're talking about, what we've been through, we were
mad.
We walked the course, as it says. How did it say in Ephesians? Well, we all once walked the course of the world.
According to the course of this world. Yeah.
We were all there before. So
according to the course of the darkness of this world.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. So we look back over at Romans 4. You know, Christ is not doubting you, because he know in the midst of your walk there's going to be a battle.
Amen.
But he comes back there in the third verse. He's talking about the death. You was weak through the flesh, because now Galatians is really telling you these things jump on your back.
That's right.
All he's talking about this thing in the book of God, this falseness, this adultery, this witchcraft, all this stuff has got the ability to come at you at any moment. But we try to take the scriptures, we screen it off. Yeah, we know the kingdom of God suffers violence. Well, who is the kingdom? You're the representative of the kingdom. The man of God said, you are the ambassador called to bring forth the word here on earth as being a representation of that which is in heaven, that it may be done down here on the earth. I think he talked about last week, he said about seeing the sermon and hearing the sermon. It's very different as you walk with Christ, and how it's so important that he never calls you to be a light under a bush. I mean, I ain't saying we're going to walk around bright all the time. We got days. I mean, you know, hey, come on, man. I mean, you know, everybody's got their ups and downs. Nobody's perfect in this walk as we go through the walk. That the old people say, while I'm on this old school song, say, while I'm on this tedious journey, you know. The reason
yes, sir.
Yeah, man, that was a song, man. While I'm on this old tedious journey, I want Jesus. Yeah, they knew that the battle and sometimes the midst of things in your life can be shaky. It can be iffy. You know, but
amen.
One thing we got to do is we got to submit, or we got to trust in God's word of God. Say, as Proverbs, what did Proverbs 3 is? I say, trust in God. Lean
trust
not to your own. Yeah, but acknowledge him. So the word tells us in verse 4 that the law might be fulfilled, you know, in us who walk not after the flesh. Now, he said it might not. I ain't saying you can't be fulfilled, but see, we fall short. Whether people believe it or not, we all fall short every day. Every day.
Amen. Amen.
Know it or not. This is why we got the model prayer that we taught as kids. We developed that prayer. We got the model prayer. We sit over in the book of Luke. I think it's Luke 11, Elder. I believe it is. I think we're in there. Luke 11. When they came to him, and they began to tell him in Luke 11, Lord, teach us to pray as John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. Well, the same thing applies to us. Our mother and father, we're going to go through stipulations in life. So their job was to teach us how to pray, because they knew we're going to deal with some hard times. They knew that we're going to deal with some stuff, and we're going to have to learn how to pray for ourselves. And by praying for ourselves, we'll lose the very things that come against us, that we depend on somebody that in our circumstances more greater to handle it than we are. I think What does Galatians say? No, is it Chronicles? The battle is not yours, but God.
Yeah, 2 Chronicles 20.
Amen. I mean, we got to believe that. All of this stuff, just we're not stuck here on verse 4, and we're not condemning anybody on verse 4, because I'm a part of verse 4. It was a gift in me also when I was born. You know, when I was running the streets and doing things behind closed doors, I know all to be doing, as Ephesians said, but God still had a gift in me. But the mercy and grace of God, it was always there on my behalf, because he was going to fulfill the purpose in me that he had done. Okay, so when I was going through, I didn't totally turn down the gift. He said that it might be fulfilled. So the might is still in place. That knowing I got is like a scale, the Richter scale. You can whatever weight pulls to one side, that's the side you're gonna fall on. And I heard Bishop Reeves out of there in Kansas City. He said, whatever you feed the most, that's what's gonna grow. And that's true. You know, and sometimes we get so late in our lives and we begin to tip the scales a little too late. I'm not saying God ain't change things because he's the God of the impossibility. We know that through the believer. But we got to realize that somewhere in our lives, we got to come to the point that we know the scripture says, as a child, I thought as a child. Not from the physical standpoint of view, but this is what gets me, Elder. We keep looking at that from a physical standpoint, but it's really as Paul talked to them in Galatians and in Corinthians.
Spiritual.
About the,
that's right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You got to come in matured because they was messed up. Go ahead. Go ahead, Elder.
No, you're right. Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I thought as a child. He said, but when I came a man, I put away childish things. We've got to understand there are levels of maturity even to this walk. That's why Paul, when he first addressed, I believe it was the Corinthians, he told them, you know, I tried to give you meat. You're still desiring milk. So I'm going to give you milk. I'm going to talk to you with the level that you're at. God will meet you at the point of your need.
Yes, he will.
See, and, you know, and I was thinking about this other night, man. Heard the preacher said, he said, we all experience periods. He said, when all hell breaks loose in your life, he said, but remember this one thing. Isaiah gave us the key. He said, when all hell breaks loose, it's just like the scripture says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, it's not me, it's not you, it's not your flesh, but it's the spirit of the Lord, the spirit of the living God that lifts up a standard against it. Now, if you know anything about warfare, and in particular, the times Israel were on their conquest of the promised land, whenever they went forth into battle, they sent out two things that was most important first. Number one was the standard bearer. The standard bearer had like a banner or a sign, and on this thing, it had the names and the locations of all of the enemies that they had already conquered. So when they were coming at you, they were coming in the spirit and the power of the Lord, and that led first. First, the standard went forth to let you know that God and God's people was on the scene to do battle. And right after that was the praises. Send you the first. So when Paul's talking about walking in the spirit, these are the tools that he's talking about us employing. Remember, God said that my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Because we understand there are limitations to us. But scriptures already let us know God, anything and everything is possible with God. So it stands to reason, or it should stand to reason, that whenever I run out the end of myself and I know I can't get things done, I have a God in heaven. Because, see, Paul goes on to talk about in his 8th chapter right here, as a matter of fact, a little before that, that we have been called out of something. We have been called out of bondage into sonship. In other words, you once were a slave. We all were once slaves to sin and bondage to sin. But because God's mercy, grace, and God's love for us, we've been called out of that, and we've literally been called into the family of God. Now, keep in mind, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So anytime God has claimed you and you're claiming God, then God's spirit is a part of you. Once God's spirit is a part of you, that's what leads you. That's your power source. That's what motivates you. That's what gives you action. And all we want to do is make sure that you understand the source of power that you have available to you. You know, especially in the times that we're living in, Pastor Charles, you know, we understand that the word of God is being carried out before our eyes every day. And again, as we move forward and as time progresses, it's going to get worse long before it gets better.
Yeah, he said it's going to grow more wickeder and wiser.
That's what I'm talking about. And only those who have no possess and walk in God's spirit are going to be able to stand.
Or not weak, as we said, you know.
Exactly.
You can't wear your heart on your sleeve in this type of fight. You know, when
that's right.
When you hear the Lord over there in that Isaiah 59:19, it's kind of like you talk about how the devil is like a roaring lion. But when he said, when you look at the verse 19 and you look at it really good, he says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west. Look how he's saying it. From the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. Now, right there tells you already right then that already in that particular case, that when the enemy come in, it's already been declared that his battle is fake.
Amen.
His stuff ain't real, because he said his will come in like a flood. But the word of God declared it over in verse 19, the first part. He said when they fear the name. See, it depends on whose name you fear. And he said, when they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun, right there, the enemy, see, it comes in late on that when the enemy comes in, but if you can catch the first part, a lot of people say when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the spirit of, but see, God is telling you that the enemy, he got a light flood. But it's the power of God
right.
that will overshadow whatever it is that he's trying to come in your life with. In other words, when the enemy comes in with his flood, like a flood, the power of God already demonstrated that he's more capable of taking care of whatever it is he's going to flood you. I think the old people say that he'll put no more on you than you can bear if you trust
Amen.
Him.
Amen. Let me add something to that right there for you, Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Let me add something to that right there real quick. As a matter of fact, in that very verse of Scripture, there are a lot of theologians, and because of the different translations, you know, Jesus spoke in Aramaic. He spoke originally Hebrew language in Aramaic, but the Bible was first written in Greek and then translated. Now, a lot of people look at that scripture. The scripture says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, comma. But there are people who will argue that when it was originally written, says, The original translation says when the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood, the spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard. You see the difference?
Oh, most
the
definitely.
Flood is being attributed to the enemy, but God,
it's
but
his
God.
Flood. It's the Holy Spirit.
That's right. He is the owner and the control of the flood.
Yeah, he was in control. That's what I'm saying right there. He raised that point in the first part of this. For as
exactly.
far as he makes it, you protected, in other words. So when he put the protection
exactly.
in the fear, you don't have to worry about the second part, because he said, they said to fear me from the west, his glory, and the rising of the sun. Okay, right there you protected. I mean, that whatever comes on after that, I'm already protected. Whatever kind of flood, whatever it may be, whenever
there
that comes
you
in,
go.
I ain't got to worry. So when circumstances.
Your protection is already in place.
Amen.
Amen.
He's right there on top of you to help you when you're going through. Let's look at this, and we want to get on down here in this area of the eight. We're in the fourth. If y'all caught the fourth and you really want to understand and get a little bit more breakdown, you're welcome to call in at area code 516-387-1220. Look, we welcome in good information, not just some more. Just don't throw no some hobo stuff up in here. Just come in with some solid sound information. And I'm talking about revelation. Well, we can read the commentaries all day long. We see what it said. But we want revelation and wisdom out of what we're saying here on tonight in this evening testimony. Because these are the things that are going to contribute to us moving forward to be able to see that how we can come back on Tuesday testimony and say, man, how we overcame circumstances in our lives. This is what's going to get us over. Now, if we look at the same particular scripture, the same particular fourth verse in the Amplified version. We can go on all different versions. We're gonna, but when we get on to the seventh verse, we're gonna go through quite a few different versions to get some more, what we say, solidification of Scripture. But in the fourth verse, let's say in the Amplified version, so then the righteousness is just requirement. Notice how he said this in the Amplified Classic. He said it, that the word that he's saying right there is so strong. He says, so then the righteousness and the just requirement. Do y'all catch that? Everything that he said is the just requirement is just what I need. The just requirement of the law might be fulfilled. What's going to help me fulfill the law that God has called me to walk in? The just requirement, righteousness. If I walk in righteousness, guess what? It won't be that it might be fulfilled. It will be fulfilled. How do you say in Psalms 84:11? If I walk upright, no good thing. Matter of fact, when you look at Psalms 84:11, you go in your Bibles, and I mean, me and him could probably speak this stuff off the top of our heads. We not saying that we ain't trying to say we better. Well, we're just trying to get you to see. It takes us to get you to see a little bit quicker as we move forward with the program. He said that God is a sun and a shield. We get these parts of the Scripture and we speak on them, but we don't get the whole cause of what it's saying.
Because exactly.
84:11, he said he gives value and strength to what he's saying. God is a sun and he's a shield. Notice how he says that. I'm the sun, I'm the bright weight, like the noon star, like Paul saw on the road to Damascus. Also, I'm the shield that will protect you from all danger. My word is what's illuminating. That he said, now and then no good thing would I withhold from those who walk upright. Well, what is he saying there? I got the blockers against anything that may try to come against the word of what I put in place. That's if you walk upright. I think of what is it, and we can reiterate the scriptures. We go back to everybody's familiar with Matthew 6:33. That's all a process of what it is. Now, he says in the fourth verse, if you catch it, he said there's a requirement to be fulfilled.
There's a qualification that we have to come into. You have to be qualified in order to receive and to walk in this. Now, the best thing about it is that qualifying isn't hard. It's just rooted in one word, and that's obedience.
That's it. Righteousness, man.
Obedience.
Yeah. You know, we look at all the scriptures. We see all the things. We look on the Jericho wall. We look at from the Syrophoenician woman. We look at the woman with the issue of blood. We look at, all these things were required through righteousness of words that was put in position through the Holy Spirit if they obeyed the Spirit. That's why Bob said faith coming by hearing. Hearing come out of the word of God. Everything that was required for these men of God to receive the righteousness of God had to come through a verbal requirement. They was told and then done.
That's right.
We got to be able to move on what's been told to us through the Spirit. Now, we're going to see this on down here in the scriptures. But on as we finished up this, this fourth verse, in the Amplified version, we talk about the righteous requirement is the just requirement of the law that might be fulfilled, that might in us who live and move not in the, remember we said, who move and live not in the, in the, in the ways of the flesh, but in the ways of the Spirit, our lives.
Exactly.
He breaks it and says our lives. And then he used a word in that, governed not by the standards according to the what? Look what it says.
Spirit.
Not the flesh has got to be totally eliminated. Now, how do we eliminate the flesh? We're passed on weak. Well, the word of God says, if you're weak, then lean on me. How the old song says, lean on me when you're not. It's a kernel song, but it's really true. You know, when
it
you're
is.
Not strong, and the word of God says the same thing. Cast all your cares on me because I'm the one that does what? I'm the one that cares
for you.
So when you're
yes,
in a position, go ahead, man of God.
No, I'm listening to you. Go ahead.
When you've been deceitful, deceived or cheated by the flesh, remember, it's the one that's kind of control you, but the word of God says also, there's a greatness in the inside. If you know how people say when we're doing sports, you got to reach down inside, you got to dig. You got to pull out that in you. That's what they're saying. Reach down to your soul. It's strength in there. When the flesh can't do it, then you got to dig into your soul, you know. Most people don't know about athletes. I mean, it's days. I mean, we had to run these heels, man. I mean, full gear, and it was like. Texas. You played sports down in Texas on that gridiron, man. I'm telling you, it's 105 outside, but it's like 120 on the field. You pad it up.
Come on.
You can't roll. You better get up off the field. But he goes on. I mean, for just to break that illustration, because I want, if we're teaching, then we need to get the people with the rights and requirements of what he's saying. If we really want a little bit more understanding about the particular area in the fourth verse, okay, we can look at that. We can take it back and look at it a little bit more closer in the particular fourth verse. But what we gave you, I'm not saying that it ain't, it's a lot in there. It's a whole lot in there. But for us to be able to allow what we need, it's going to take a lot of time for us to really. That's why we teaching. That's why most pastors we teach in series, because we get on something, we eat on it, and we want to stand it because the Holy Ghost keep on feeding us on it, because we know it's something that you need in your life.
And amen.
And what we're talking about right now is food for the soul. This is what you need to eat on, because we got to understand that even in your conviction and your walking, God is not, how he said, God has not cast you out. He's not cast you away. He is
amen.
Despite of your unfulfilling, the might that he said is a might. So if I can't get there and I'm weak in the flesh, then I got to do like the song says. You know,
amen.
Or that old circular song I said. I mean, it's true. You know, when you're not strong, God be your, you know, and it's there. I mean, really think about it. I mean, you
amen,
know what
amen,
I mean?
Amen,
but
amen.
She said, the righteous requirement of the righteous or the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Now, it's a lot in that. If you look at that and see what it's saying, because it brings a whole lot more solidification. If you look at some of the other different studies or different breakdowns, it's a whole lot of different stuff that you can read on it. Says, so the righteous requirement of the law, Paul, it talks about one of the breakdowns I was looking at, that Paul said the law is spiritual. Now, when he said the law is spiritual, it takes us back over to Romans 7, I think it was 7 and 12. So the law is holy, and the commandments is holy. You know,
and the commandments and just and good.
Yeah, I mean, he tells you that. And he says pretty much the same thing in Romans 7 and 14. For we mean that the law is spiritual, but you know, I am flesh, you know, sold in the bondage of sin, which we are. How do we sold in the bondage of sin? We're born into sin. See, this stuff, we want to move forward and give you a lot more, but I'm telling you, it goes way back to the base. It goes back to Adam. This particular 7 and 14 takes you back to Adam, you know, born and sold. You know, look at it. He said, you know, just okay. We're gonna get on this a little bit. We're gonna move on to the fifth verse. He talks about it in Romans 7:14. This is in the. You look at one of the National American Standard versions. They talk about we are known that the law. He said we are known, but we know that the law is. We know this. How do we know that the law is spiritual? Think about it. How do we know the law is
requirement?
He not only the righteous requirement, he said we knew these things before we was born. We knew the word. We knew this. But he talks about the cares of the world. That was somebody, something out there that cared that pulled us more to the physical aspect than the spiritual aspect. Because what do we see? We look at all the things in the world and our things are good to us. We look at all the things that make it look good in the eyesight. See, he gives you, this is why sometimes as men and women, God, you got to learn how to shut down the five senses. I'm not saying that you hear, smell, but you got to test it out in the physical if you can walk in the spirit. Because you don't see the things you see, you don't hear the things you're supposed to hear physically, and you don't, you know, taste. It's all that, you know. And people say, how can you taste the power of the spirit? I don't know about anybody else. I can feel it was a good taste in my mouth. Well, that is a bad taste in my mouth. You know, sometimes you'd be around certain people. Well, you say that in the kernel. If a person around you puts a bad taste in your mouth, okay, I mean, maybe it's something about them that ain't right. You know what I'm saying? But you don't require that they need to be in your presence. But he said, we know that the law is spiritual. We know that. But I am flesh. So it goes back to Galatians.
Right.
Like God said, it takes you right back to Galatians. Why do we know the law is spiritual? Because, see, when you look, when he read in the book of Galatians, he wouldn't have gave us all that stuff. He tells us to watch out for that stuff over there in the 19th verse.
Right.
Down to the flesh. talks about that different manifestation of adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. That's what the world system is going to offer us. Ephesians said we were all in there. We were born into sin. Now some people look at that negatively, and I'm gonna let Elder tap on that also, because it's, you say, well, we're born into sin. Everybody, see, we want to use the excuse like, okay, well, sin is not a bad thing. Well, I ain't saying it's a good thing. You
know what I'm saying? Come on, man.
We all done it. I mean, we talked about sin, but we don't even know what it is. Like, you know, what sin is, that? Yeah, it is. It's a negative thing in terms of eyesight of God. You know, it really is. I mean, because when we think about sin, it's not that we don't know sin. We know what sin is. But we only take certain things and call it sin. You know, we start taking categories. My sin is big. Your sin is big. No, S-I-N is S-I-N. When Adam fell, everybody fell. No matter what you're doing, you did it. I mean, little or small. I mean, well, I don't do as much as this. Well, hold on a second. First of all, you're in the flesh. So that makes you number one candidate.
Amen. Amen. Hey, Pastor Ellis, as a matter of fact, you know, this is the thing, whether we acknowledge it or not, the greatest enemy that we have to face, any man has to face, is already within him because of our nature of sin. As a matter of fact, Paul goes on down here, right from where you left off at, when he's talking about, he has a conversation basically with himself in the verses of Romans. From that 15 verse on down a little ways, he talks about, what am I doing? I do not understand. For what I want, will to do, or what I want to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that is what I do. In other words, Jesus said it very plainly, that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to understand that it's our position. The greatest struggle we have is in the battlefield of the mind. As a matter of fact, and I'll tell you what, because Paul sums it up in Galatians 5th chapter, right there, what we were talking about earlier, from the 19th verse on down. These are the works of the flesh. These are the things that manifest themselves and attack us and play out in our, they attach themselves to our minds, and they play out through our flesh. Now, verse 19 says, now the works of the flesh are evident, are these, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred. And some of these things stick out like a sore thumb, because to be honest with you, every last one of us walked in at least one, if not all, of these.
If anybody cast,
and were it not for the grace of God, we could be able to look back and see and know that we've been delivered from them.
Amen.
And I had a preacher tell me one time, man, you know, more often than not, you have to be delivered after you've been delivered. That's why it's so important what Paul said in the 12th chapter, Romans 12 and 4. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brother, by the tender mercies of God, you know, that we have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And it's not just a hit or miss thing. It's not a one-time thing. It's an effectual, continuous, daily thing, because the greatest battle you ever fight is the battle of your mind.
Amen.
Your spirit directly relates and controls your mindset. And once God has control of that, then it's easier. It's possible to control your members. But if God has no say, God's spirit has no say, there's no way you'll ever control your members, because you'll never be able to control your mind. And that's what this is all about. And that's what Pastor Charles is talking about. He says that, you know, let me finish reading that real quick, and then I'll get out your way. But he actually said that all these things are sins of the flesh, and, you know, we're no strangers to any of them. Let's be real. You know, keep it under. We're not strangers to any of this stuff.
Is that very clear to me?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
He said that, you know, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy, long-suffering, and all of that. So we've got to understand that everything, mm-hmm. even though it's sin, mm-hmm. it's carnality, we can be grateful and thank God that God has already, Jesus has already overcome all of it, first of all, for us. But God ultimately has an answer for all of it. If you can hang on and fight the fight of faith,
amen.
And work these things out.
Amen.
Because
amen.
I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't have the power to
not
overcome any of these demons. I don't have the power to overcome this stuff in my flesh. It's only by the power of God that mm-hmm. you can, that I can overcome any of it.
Cast all your cares.
But he's literally mm-hmm. given us the formula and the victory, the success right here.
Amen.
This word mm-hmm. is a living entity. It's not just some book that you read for your pleasure. No, it's alive. That's the greatest thing about the word of God. It's alive.
Joshua said, don't let it depart from you.
Exactly.
That's the book of the law that you should meditate.
Shall not depart from you.
He said,
yeah, that's right. He said, be of courage and be of good faith. He said, because do not let it depart from you. Do not turn it right or left, because then and only then you shall have good success.
This book of the law should not depart from your mouth. You know, all this is the law. What gets me is, we want to move forward here, but, you know, but the death of Christ, when we look at how he talks about that everything was done, and I heard Dr. J.C. Matthews say this so powerfully the other night, that everything we need was already done over in really Galatians 6:24. He said, in that the Christ have crucified the flesh.
That's right.
Of lust. Now look how he says that. You know, the flesh has already come and suggested what Christ done on the cross. But see, when we look at the total package, everything was done on the cross. It don't need no more help. And we keep
Amen.
On coming. We don't need them up.
Amen.
How does Ephesians say it? Ephesians, I think Paul speaks the very word in the book of Ephesians, say, by grace we are saved through faith.
That's right.
By grace we are saved through faith and not through yourselves.
That not of ourselves. It's a gift
of
God.
The work has been done. Not that any man should boast. We can't, well, I need more of this. No, Christ didn't have to do nothing on the cross. It wasn't Christ. He completed the work on the cross. It's your crazy self, your hard head. You're the one falling short. You can't do nothing to help what he already done, because he fulfilled everything that you needed on the cross. So when you get your package, which is salvation, everything is in there. You just got to know how to unwrap it.
Amen.
But unwrap it goes back to what he said in the book of Joshua. And also strain away from the things he said in the book of Galatians, over that 5 and 16, now that 19 to 22. That's
right.
How you come into conform, because he said, it was the just right. If you walk right.
Just shall live by his or her faith.
Not only that, man of God, over in the fourth verse, he says, so the just right was just requirements, as we said over in the book of Romans. Righteousness in the just the righteousness that you receive that's already in your package is only diluted by how you believe, how your faith is.
Amen. Amen.
You got everything you need. The package is you short. Amen.
Amen.
You mean God is
and
short.
And again, according to Ephesians 3:20, it's already at work in us.
It's all. Yeah, yeah. If I can believe it. I mean, if I'm done on the cross, then it's already done. Okay, let's look at this. We right there. We got 2 minutes. We got to go. Let's look at that. Let's look at over here, and let's look at the actual fifth verse. So, and it says in the fifth verse, I'm going to let Elder take that one, in the fifth verse of Romans 8 and 5. All we just talked to y'all about, y'all see how it says, see, this is what we're trying to get them to understand, and we're not trying to condemn anybody. All this stuff comes through studying. Don't read through the Word of God like a fairy tale. It links and man, it got pathways like rabbit trails. It goes a lot of directions. You just got to stay on it. Well, like God will give you one word, one scripture. And man, if you just really trying to read out everything, just take that one thing, man.
Amen.
And if you live by the
Spirit, chew on it.
Chew on it.
That's right.
Let's look at the fifth verse.
Amen. Yep. Verse 5 says, "For now listen to this, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live, those who walk according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." In other words, whatever you put in you is what's going to lead you.
Yeah, that's what Bishop Reeves told me. Whatever you feed the most.
Exactly. Whatever you put in you. You know, it's been said and it's been proven even biologically, we are what we eat.
Yeah, true. We see that all
if
the time.
If you eat the Word of God, you're going to become the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you take a puppy or a cat, anything that you feed, it's going to become eventually a part of you. And what this is saying right here is if we live our lives according to those same things I just read over in Galatians, Paul goes on to say that those are the things that reap death.
There comes a part of you. My little dog.
That's
a
right.
Part
it becomes.
I got to feed him every day. He's a part of me.
I learned an interesting thing not long ago, and it was simply this. It says, "Watch your words because they become your character."
They do. That's right. That's right. Yeah.
You know,
you got to conduct yourself, especially when you're walking as a leader. I mean, it's because you're in the pulpit. That's even in your wife, your family. I mean, you're everywhere in the store.
Exactly.
I mean, it's a lifestyle, man. I mean, God just don't judge you when you're before the people. you judge your lifestyle, man.
Jesus put it like this. He said, "It's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but what comes out of a man, because what comes out comes from the abundance of his heart."
Your heart. And God, what does it say? God makes the heart before he makes the man. And we know that.
Exactly.
The they look for the heartbeat, that clot of blood, and then everything else grows around it. You know?
That's right.
So the heart before he makes the man. I mean, that's strong right there. I mean, really. You know, whatever's in your heart and whatever you made of is what's going to come up. I mean, that's what I'm known to be. You know, if you hang around, what they guilty by what?
Association, bro.
And that's easy to do. Because when I hung around, I became. I mimicked the people who I was around. And everybody wanted to.
There it is.
I used to hate Michael Jackson. Now, Lord, don't forgive. I love you, Michael Jackson. But I'm just saying, you had all the girls when you were young. Ain't nobody even look at me.
Yes, sir.
and all the girls, because why? He had an impression on them by what they saw him because he was in the spotlight. And that's the same thing as a pastor or a leader. You know, when you're in the spotlight,
right,
a lot of things that the enemy is going to throw at you. But the Bible says, you who are spiritual, you know what I'm saying?
There it is.
You know, you got to be able to. Apostle Paul, I mean, he had to check himself, but he was talking about the things that he had done as he was trying to go into the work of Christ. Now, when I look at, like you said, in Romans 7:15, I think about, was that really when Paul was writing about the ventures before he actually came into Christ? You know, because look, like he was telling stories about as a Pharisee.
What he was doing when he was giving him about, he was telling him about the desires and the things of his flesh, because he was showing them a picture and a pattern. First of all, that the law of the letter cannot save you from sin.
Yeah, amen.
And
amen.
That was his whole point in that. So what he did, he went on and he said all that, and then he said, you know, then he went on to say that, but now it's no longer I. Verse 17 said, but now it's no longer I who do it, but
do it.
Sin that dwells in me. He said, well, I know that in me, or that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. So he understood that he had to imply and compel the power of God to overcome his flesh to keep the sin at bay.
Mm-hmm.
See, the thing is when we begin to walk in the reality and the revelation of God's truth and God's light, then God has already built in the equipment for us to use to be able to overcome and stay in that light. But make no mistake, it's not a light thing, and it's not an easy task. I mean, let's face it. You know, we all have our times and our moments of weakness. For instance, you know, as long as you walk this earth, people are going to do things. They're going to rub you the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
Paul said the solution to that was have your anger, but sin not.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason he said don't let the sun go down on your wrath.
Mm-hmm.
Because through righteous indignation and through the indwelling spirit, you're able to, as verse 4 says, fulfill the righteous requirement because you have effectively empowered anything that would come against you, your flesh, and anything, any sin that desires to dwell with the spirit.
The very substance, like you're saying, the very substance of the law of God might be fulfilled. What is the substance of the law? Well, the substance of the law is that, you know, it can hinder you.
Exactly.
When you got something 100% and you put something in it, it's no longer 100%. You know, anytime you add something to something, it doesn't become as potent or as valuable as it is. You know, we can get into a lot of that about generics, you know. Sometimes you're for the price of what it is, but it's really not the true identity of what it is. The very substance of the law of God might be fulfilled, but what you said, the very substance, God's giving you the basic requirements, and sometimes we can't even pass the basic requirements.
Amen. Hey, listen, them last four verses of chapter 7 right here are pretty much the most powerful. Because it's what Paul's leading up to, man.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this. Verse 22 says, "For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man."
Mm-hmm.
Again, everything works from with God. Everything works from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
Everything works from the spirit and manifests out. So verse 23 says, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law," and again, warring against the law of my mind.
Well, that's,
and bringing me into captivity in the law of sin, which is in my members, he says, "O wretched man that I am."
That's teaching right there. You know, he talked about two different things. We talked about earlier about the inward man. That's the heart. Okay, so that we know that's spiritual. But we also know that's the outer shell. I think Paul talked about
exactly.
He said, "Look, man, y'all like whitewashed tombs. Y'all look good on outside, but y'all fools."
Come on.
So the same thing with us. We got a greatness inside of us. What Jeremiah 1:5 created, born and engineered.
That's right.
We were designed with the gift in us. Remember, we'll go back to how God made the heart before he made the man. It goes back to what the elder said. The part of the process is not what goes in that defiles what comes out. So the very thing
is just the package up, bro. You know,
amen. The heart is what God's looking at.
Exactly.
So if the heart is defiled, then guess what? What comes out is defiled. And if it spews out of the heart, then it spews over and affects the outside as well.
That's right.
It overtrues, you know. We want to teach them in that area. Because some people feel like, well, you know, there are some things I just don't like about an individual. Well, you got to understand, if you're going to be with God, you're going to be the laws of God, you got to walk in love. You know what I mean?
That's
God
right.
Requires is love. I mean, that when we go back to Galatians, like the man of God said, the basic requirement, like he said in the feed, that the requirement that it might be. See, he gave you the basic requirement when he said that over in the what was that?
Verse,
in the Romans 8, in the Amplified, if he serves a man right, he said so that the righteous is the just requirement. And he just told you the story about what Paul was saying. The laws that battle on the end is going to the out, because now what he had to understand that it's just, well, it ain't what's on the outside. It's what's coming from the inside. I mean, it's spewing over on the outside. If I don't get the inside right, then you're never going to get the outside right. You know what I'm saying? You know, to run a relay, you got to start off in such a way that you got to run in the midst of the race. If any stagger in the midst of that run, it can cause that race to be fatal to the point of possibly losing, a loss, or whatever it is. And I hear what Elder's saying. You know, everything starts with the heart. You got to get the heart right. I mean, think Romans said the very thing about the urging you and grudging you to come about, you know, he's telling you, I beseech you, brother, by the mercy. I mean, I want to help you get your heart right, because anything you've done wrong, I got mercy. I want to be a propitiation, but I want you to seek me, that whatever that you've done wrong, I'm going to be the one to get rid of that anger, that heartache, or whatever it is, because I don't want that stuff to spew on the out. I don't want you to be, you know, I don't want you to be an evil person. And plus, you can't walk in the kingdom anyway. I mean, if you don't have love for your brother and sister, how do you say you love me, but then you know, you hate them? Work on your heart. Work on your heart. Get your heart
right.
You got to get your heart
everything else will fall into place after that.
It's a righteous requirement. I mean, if anybody got the word of God, they go to Amplify it, and they see what we're speaking is strictly from the word. And the Bible says it's a number one requirement. That if you're going to be fulfilled and walk in the Holy Spirit, the requirement for the Holy Spirit to live in you is you got to have righteousness, man. He can't dwell in an unclean place. That's period. How would you like somebody to put something in your drink that it ain't supposed to be in there? You drink it. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, most of the time we get a glass of water, if a fly get in it, it's just a fly. And water is really valuable. A bug or something, you know what? We pour the whole glass out. Now think about what the word of God says. A little leaven does what? A little leaven. What do you say? A little leaven.
Leaven a whole lump. Leaven a whole lump.
Sin reigns long. It picks up, as the man of God said. It adds to. So you got to dust that stuff off, and you got to have a heart of righteousness and love, not condemning, but also understand and realize, okay, we was there once too. I mean, our sinful nature was controlled by the mind and led us to death. We know. I mean, let's come on. But you want to get that sixth verse, man? You want to get that number six? Or we go, because we can be on
this. Yes, sir.
A lot.
Verse six says,
this ain't a fairy tale, man. This is studying, and this is what we're doing tonight. We're studying, we're talking about the
verse six says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, that word carnally translates literally to fleshly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything, the word of God, the Bible says the word of God is alive, it's quick, and it's sharper than two-edged sword, because its sole purpose and intent.
Mm-hmm.
Intent is to what? Is to find asunder or to cut apart and separate flesh from spirit. And that's the whole of our walk. It's a lifetime commitment of allowing and utilizing God to separate the flesh from the spirit, because the flesh is sin and death, and the spirit is peace and life.
I mean, you just look at. If you just take a look at the basic breakdown and just dealing with kernel, you know, the meaning of just kernel from the dictionary tool point of view, if y'all study, y'all know, I mean, you just look at kernel, you know, uncovered a man, you know, that, I mean, it talks about how, well, Corinthians, I mean, from my study and some years ago, I taught about the process, but the unconverted man are so called. You know what I'm saying? What I mean by the unconverted man are so what? Unconverted. Notice what you hadn't been converted, so you're unconverted. I think, what is it? If it's Corinthians 3, I think.
Corinthians, yeah, it talks 3, about the unregenerated.
You're still worldly. Since there, you're jealous, quarreling among you. Like you said about Paul, those problems that they had in Corinth. He talks about the quarreling and the jealousy among them, you know, and he said, y'all still act like mere humans? Remember, Paul told that. He said, you know, I feed you with milk, you know, but you still currently, he told that man is still messed up. Remember, he said that in Romans free. And I'm still messed up in the head.
And keep in mind, this was the church. This was the church.
Oh, yeah.
This word is written to the church first. The Bible says that judgment must first begin at the house of God.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Because, see, again, we're the ones that are charged with holding up the standard. And nothing is going to go anywhere unless it comes through the house and the God and the body of Christ first.
Be the filter, you know. With a filter, just like everything I do. Before I minister the word, when I speak or say anything, I first recognize that I ain't nothing but a piece of clay. The second thing I do is ask, Lord, look, let me filter my word through the Holy Spirit, because I don't want to say what I don't want to say. I'm an instrument. As by now, when I minister the word, everywhere I go, Lord, look, speak to this mouth of clay, because I don't know what to say, how to say.
That's
it. Filter my words that I speak through the Holy Spirit. I mean, I want to know that what I'm speaking right by your requirements and not mine. And we got to really get into the point of understanding in the Word of God, because now we got in this show thing that goes on, you know, we talk about this inspiration stuff. It just brings happiness and power through revelation and deliverance. But it's a different type. If you look at the crowd, it's a difference between an inspirational crowd and a revelational convicted crowd.
Amen.
On television.
A lot of things that people think are spiritual are actually inspirational.
The flush. He's working on the flush. Well, we got a few more minutes, man, to God. Can we get at that? We get at that seventh verse. That's what we really came in for.
I was waiting on you to say that. The seventh verse says, because the carnal mind, again, we're talking about the fleshly mind, is enmity against God.
Yeah.
For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. You ever met somebody who has convinced themselves that they know more than anybody else about God? They know God so well, but all you have to do is let them talk long enough and they'll prove to you how carnal they are.
Yeah, they're telling themselves, just let them open their mouth. I mean, you know.
We've got to understand that, again, Paul said right here, he said the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, the earthly mind, the sinful mind is enmity against God. That word enmity literally translates into enemy.
Hostile.
Now, the Bible says it's a dangerous thing. It's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God.
That word hostile, like you said, that empathy, that bad blood, that hatred, you know, that ill feeling, that bitterness, that's what you talk about, empathy. You know, it's bad.
That's
feeling.
Right.
That's all. That's, you know, resentment. That's empathy. When you look at the break of that stuff, it's talking about all that stuff, man. That argumentative, that empathy, that stuff. God, I mean, that's all in a part of, you know, empathy. You know, and that's the depths of it. You know, I mean,
you know, don't fool yourself. There's no middle ground with God. Jesus said either you're for him or you're against him. And please understand that for too long, too many people have lived their lives. A lot of them have died and gone to heaven, being deceived into thinking that you know, God will allow them the opportunity to live the life the way they want to live and then receive them in heaven. But it doesn't work like that.
Amen. Amen. Man of God, you know,
Jesus said, if you love me, and what gets me sometimes is that it's so plain, it's so obvious, and we're not making any of this stuff up. You can look up everything we're saying and read it for yourself right here. But Jesus plainly said it like this. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
Do me a favor, Elder.
Yeah.
get us out of here. We got about a minute. Get us out of here. Pray us out.
All right.
We're going to get them Thursday. We're going to finish this.
Amen. All right. We're going to go home now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for your spirit and your presence, God. We thank you for this people. We pray tonight that someone has been encouraged, someone has been enlightened, someone has been uplifted, Lord. We would that you would continue to speak and deposit of your spirit and your joy and your power and your peace into this people. Bless us as we leave this place, but not from your presence, oh God, and bring us back to this appointed place at the appointed time without hurt, harm, or danger of any loved one.
Amen.
These and all of the blessings we thank you for in your son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Elder. I appreciate your assistance. And we thank you guys for joining us. Don't forget to be with us on this coming Thursday as we talk the word. And, hey, we'll get a chance to talk to you guys. So I hope you enjoyed the show. Until next time, we'll be talking to you guys. God bless.
Good night.
I can hear the call of sin, but I won't go back up.